Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Last time, we really got into the process maturity journey from Emmanuel Vaccari's book, Startup Process Improvement, Volume 1. Remember, we talked about how startups move through those stages: foundation, standardization, optimization, excellence.
That's right. And that was all about the mindset shift, wasn't it? Seeing process not as, you know, red tape, but as something that actually helps you move faster, improves quality, even boosts innovation.
Exactly. Moving away from just move fast and break things towards, well, moving fast and building something that lasts.
Precisely. Building enduring value. So if last time was the journey, today is more about the how.
Right. Today, we're laying down the actual building blocks. How do you actively build and mature those processes? Yeah. We're shifting from understanding the journey to constructing the vehicle, so to speak.
Well put. This is about what processes you actually need and, crucially, how you build them effectively. We're going to pull from Vaccari again, looking at his concepts like the startup process ecosystem, the process prioritization matrix, thoughts on lightweight documentation.
And also those key startup process design principles, the implementation roadmap, and importantly, lightweight process governance.
Mm.
Sounds like a lot, but it fits together.
It does. It provides a really practical framework.
Okay. So for you listening, our mission today is to give you that actionable framework. How do you identify, prioritize, and actually implement the core processes every startup needs to, well, not just survive, but thrive? Avoid those common pitfalls.
Let's dive in.
Okay. First up, the startup process ecosystem. Vaccari lays out this idea that every startup, doesn't matter the industry, operates within this system. It's broken down into 5 core categories. What's the thinking there? Why categorize?
The main idea is really clarity. It's like a map for startup leaders. Things are so chaotic early on, right? This framework helps make sure you're not neglecting any critical operational area while still keeping your focus sharp. Think of it as your core startup operations in the center, with these 5 process categories surrounding it.
Got it. So let's walk through them. Category 1 is value creation processes. Sounds pretty fundamental, like the core reason the business exists.
Exactly. You nailed it. These are the absolute heartbeat. They directly touch the customer experience and, critically, your revenue stream. You know, getting the product built, sold, delivered, supported.
So these are the ones that make the money, essentially.
Directly, yes.
Yeah.
They deserve top priority because they have the most immediate and significant impact on whether your startup actually succeeds or fails.
Makes sense. Can you give us some concrete examples? What kind of processes fall under value creation?
Sure. Think about product development itself, how you actually design, build, test, iterate on whatever it is you offer. Then there's customer acquisition, everything involved in finding and winning customers. Customer onboarding is huge, too, getting new users set up for success quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, customer support, keeping customers happy and solving their problems. And finally, order fulfillment, which is just the mechanics of delivering what you promised.
Okay, crystal clear. Those are all outward-facing, customer-centric. But then the next category is support processes. You mentioned these don't directly create customer value.
Yeah.
So why are they essential? Couldn't a lean startup just, you know, focus on the value creation stuff first?
That's a super common question. And honestly, it's a trap. While they don't directly make the customer happy, they enable everything else through the foundation. Without solid support processes, your value creation efforts, well, they eventually just collapse. They can't scale. They become unreliable.
Okay, so they're like the scaffolding or the plumbing, necessary infrastructure.
Exactly. Infrastructure is a great word. They allow your value creation processes to run smoothly, reliably, and crucially, to scale up as you grow. Neglect them, and you build on shaky ground.
Right. So what are some key examples here? What support processes should founders be thinking about?
Well, talent management is a big one. Finding, hiring, developing, and keeping your team. Can't do much without good people.
Mm.
Then financial management, budgeting, tracking cash flow, accounting.
Right.
You need to know your numbers.
Absolutely.
Technology management, keeping your IT, your tools, your data secure and running efficiently. Vendor management, dealing with suppliers and partners effectively. And knowledge management, making sure important information isn't just stuck in one person's head.
That last one feels really important, but often overlooked in the early chaos.
It really is crucial for continuity.
Okay, so value creation is the engine. Support is the chassis and infrastructure. What are the other 3 categories in this ecosystem?
The other 3 rounded out. You've got compliance processes, super important for navigating regulations, avoiding fines, especially as you grow. Think legal, data privacy, industry standards.
Yeah, not glamorous, but ignore them at your peril.
Definitely. Then there are improvement processes. This is about deliberately getting better over time, optimizing things, learning, evolving. And finally, management processes. This is the day-to-day oversight, strategic planning, coordination, making sure everything actually works together. Seeing all five helps you build a truly robust operation.
That ecosystem model provides a really helpful, holistic view. But okay, you've mapped the territory. Now, the big question for any startup, limited time, limited cash, a million fires. How do you choose where to focus first? Which process gets attention now?
Yeah, and that's where snap decisions or just reacting to the loudest problem can really lead you astray. Apothecary introduces the process prioritization matrix specifically for this. It's a structured way to think about it, forcing you to weigh two things: potential business impact and the effort required to implement.
The classic 2x2 grid. Love those. So impact versus effort, how does it break down?
Simple but powerful. You essentially plot potential process improvements onto this grid. Top left quadrant, quick wins. These are high impact, low effort, your low hanging fruit.
So jump on those immediately.
Absolutely. They give you significant value pretty fast, minimal resource drain. Think automating a simple time-consuming report or streamlining a daily check-in. Then bottom left, fill-ins or low priority, low impact, low effort.
With the nice to haves.
Kind of. Stuff you can do if you have spare bandwidth, but don't prioritize them. Maybe tidying up a shared drive or a minor tweak to an internal tool, not game changers.
Okay, makes sense. And the right side of the grid, higher effort.
That's right, top right, major projects, high impact, but also high effort. These can be transformative, like a complete overhaul of your sales process, but they need serious planning, resources, maybe a dedicated team. You schedule these strategically.
Got it. Big bets need careful planning.
Precisely. And then critically, bottom right, thankless tasks or reevaluate. These are low impact, high effort.
The time sinks.
Exactly. The things that consume tons of energy for very little return. The matrix basically screams, avoid these, or at least seriously question why you'd ever do them. It forces that crucial discipline.
That matrix seems like a fantastic filter. Okay, so we've prioritized. Now, documentation. This is where I think a lot of founders get nervous. Visions of dusty 100-page binders, bureaucracy killing speed. Is that fear justified?
It's totally justified if you think documentation means that. But Bakar champions lightweight process documentation. The whole point is to capture only the essential information needed for consistency and clarity without creating that soul-crushing overhead.
So minimum viable documentation, basically.
Exactly. Enough to be useful, not so much it becomes a burden. It should be a living tool, an enabler, not a historical artifact.
Okay, I like the sound of that. What does lightweight look like in practice? Give us some examples instead of those dreaded binders.
Think visual. Visual process maps, simple flowcharts are often way easier to grasp than paragraphs of text. One-page process guides distilling just the critical steps for a task onto a single page.
Nice and concise.
Definitely. Process checklists are brilliant for repetitive tasks where consistency is key. Think deploying code or onboarding a new client. Just check the boxes. For things that are easier shown than told, video documentation can be amazing. Just a quick screen recording or a phone video.
Oh, that's a great idea, especially for complex software or physical tasks.
Yeah, super practical. And when you're starting a new process, use MVP process templates, the absolute simplest version that works. Get it down, test it, then refine it based on real use. Don't try to perfect it on paper first.
That feels so much more startup friendly. Okay, documentation handled lightly. Now let's talk about actually designing these processes. Yeah. What makes a startup process good? What are Bunk4Care's startup process design principles?
Great. These are core characteristics that make processes genuinely helpful, not bureaucratic. There are five key ones. First, outcome orientation. Mm-hmm. Always start with the why. What result are we trying to achieve with this process? Focus on the destination, not just the steps.
So always link it back to the goal. What else?
Second, appropriate standardization. This is crucial. Standardize only where it really matters, maybe for safety, quality, compliance, but leave flexibility elsewhere. Don't standardize for the sake of it. Allow for judgment where needed.
Smart standardization, not blind standardization. Mm. Makes sense.
Third, clear ownership. Every single process needs someone accountable for it. Someone who makes sure it's working, gets updated, gets improved. If everyone owns it, nobody owns it, right? It's just wither.
Ooh. Ownership is key.
Yeah.
What are the last two?
Fourth, ties back to what we just talked about. Minimal viable documentation. Build it into the design principle itself. Document only what's essential for people to do it right, consistently. Keep it lean.
Okay.
And finally, fifth, built-in feedback loops. Design the process so that it learns. Include ways to gather feedback, measure performance, and adapt it over time. Maybe it's a regular review meeting, maybe it's collecting data automatically, maybe just a simple suggestion form ensures it doesn't get stale.
I really like those principles. They seem designed to keep processes alive and useful, not rigid. Okay, so you've designed a good process following these principles. How do you roll it out? How do you implement it without causing chaos or getting pushback?
Good question. Implementation needs care. That's where the process implementation roadmap comes in. It's a phased approach designed to build momentum, get buy-in, and minimize disruption. Five phases.
Yeah, that's sort of them. Phase one.
Phase one is discovery. Before you change anything, you need to deeply understand how things are actually done right now. Observe, ask questions, map out the current state, even the informal workarounds people use. The ass.
Got it. Understand the current reality first, then phase two.
Phase two is design.
Right.
Based on what you learn in discovery and using those design principles, you create the new improved process, the to be.
Makes sense. Discover, then design what's next. You don't just flip the switch, right?
Definitely not. Phase three is pilot. Test the new process on a small scale. Pick a team, a specific product line, whatever makes sense. Work out the kinks, get feedback, make adjustments. It's your safety net.
Smart. De-risk it before going wide.
Exactly. Once the pilot is successful and you've refined the process, then comes phase four. Scale. You roll it out more broadly across the organization using the lessons learned from the pilot.
Okay, pilot, then scale. And the last phase, is it ever really done?
Good point. It isn't. Phase five is optimize. Implementation isn't the end. You need to continuously monitor the process, gather data, get feedback, and keep refining it. It loops back into that improvement process category we talked about earlier. It's ongoing.
That roadmap feels very practical, very iterative. Okay, last big piece then. Let's say you've done all this, identified, prioritized, designed, implemented. How do you stop things from sliding back? That process decay you sometimes see.
Yes. Entropy always wins if you let it. That's where lightweight process governance comes in. It sounds formal, but for a startup, it just means having simple mechanisms to keep processes healthy and evolving, preventing that decay without adding bureaucracy.
Lightweight governance. What does that involve practically?
A few key things. Maintaining a process inventory, just a simple, accessible list of your core processes and who owns them, so everyone knows what exists and who to talk to. Then, establishing a regular review cadence.
Like scheduled checkups for your processes.
Exactly. Maybe quarterly, maybe annually, depending on the process. Just to check to see if it's still relevant, still effective, still aligned with goals. Needs tweaking. Great. Let's improve it. No longer needed. Okay. Let's retire it formally.
Keeps things from becoming obsolete or ignored.
Precisely. It also means having a simple improvement system. How does someone suggest an improvement to a process? And making sure processes work together, integration mechanisms, not just in their own little silos. It's about sustained health, turning that initial effort into lasting capability.
Wow. Okay. So pulling this all together, this deep dive has really given us the practical toolkit. Understanding your startup process ecosystem, using the prioritization matrix to focus, keeping documentation lightweight, following smart design principles, implementing methodically with the roadmap, and ensuring longevity with lightweight governance. It's the blueprint for building a solid operational core.
It really is. It's about intentionally building that foundation for sustainable growth, moving beyond reacting and starting to proactively shape how your startup operates for efficiency, consistency, and ultimately success. It's how you turn that raw energy into something truly enduring.
Yeah, building enduring value, like we said at the start. Now, we've laid the foundation today, but you hinted earlier about combining methodologies. That sounds like the next level.
It absolutely is. Knowing these fundamentals is step one. Step two is strategically layering in powerful methodologies like Lean, Six Sigma, Agile, and Kaizen where they fit best. That's what Beccari calls the unified magic.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. So our next deep dive.
Next time, we'll unpack that unified magic. How do you actually blend Lean's efficiency, Six Sigma's quality focus, Agile's flexibility, and Kaizen's continuous improvement mindset? We'll look at practical examples of how combining them tackles those big startup killers, inefficiency, burnout, inconsistency.
And that fear of bureaucracy. We need to really clarify how these enabling processes are the opposite of soul-crushing red tape. How they actually free people up.
Exactly. It's about smart application, not rigid rules. Looking forward to digging into that.
Me too. So for today, a final thought for you, our listener, as you process all this. Where in your own world, your startup, your team, even a personal project, is the lack of a clear process causing friction right now.
Think about that startup process ecosystem. Is there a gap in value creation, support, compliance maybe, or just day-to-day management? Could one of those thankless tasks be eliminated? Is there an obvious quick win staring you in the face?
Could just taking one small step this week, maybe sketching a quick process map, defining an owner, setting up a simple checklist, using these lightweight principles start to build your foundation? Could it create a little bit of that foundational magic, something to definitely think about?